Ed Blakely has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning as a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Britton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy, from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Trump gave his very first State of the Union address this week. Thought it was a pretty good speech myself. Lots of spin, but that's to be expected. Any big thoughts on this one, Ed?
Well, I think there are several things. One, he evidently rehearsed it because there was a lot of body movement and things like this that were canned. And he doesn't read speeches, so he had an outline of some kind, and he followed it. So he's looking a bit presidential, which was unexpected. The other thing was he gave the speech we expected him to give. He stayed away from the investigation and blaming people. He used the words we, us, America, things that we need to do. All these are kind of things that come from someone who knows how to write speeches. And I suspect it was not a person in his office.
So I guess it sounded a lot less Trump, a lot more like a president. It came off a lot more presidential.
It did. I'm not going to say it was a great speech, but it was the first presidential speech we've heard. We didn't hear one at the inauguration. So this is the first one we've heard. And he practiced, obviously, a few times in Davos and other places to get it down.
Looking at some of the key claims, firstly, Trump has said, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reforms in American history. Now, they haven't. That's not true. Nor are the Republican cuts going to help a lot of those working families that Trump was kind of name-checking. Any thoughts?
Well, I think there are a couple of things here. This is his own victory. He has to crow. And he can't crow without saying it's the biggest, the best, and the like. Facts don't count here. He actually did something. And it's the biggest thing he's done, so it's got to be the biggest tax cut, because he hasn't done anything else.
You mentioned some of the other speeches he's made previously. Now, Trump did stay away from the kind of fear-mongering of, well, speeches he gives to his base quite often, but there was some nationalistic fervor stirred up in this one. Mentions of Americans being free to praise God, respecting veterans, reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. And there were a few jabs at, the Mexican MS-13 gang and immigration. Would I be reading too much into it if I said I was a little concerned about some of that language, even if it was quite restrained?
Well, he has to feed his base. And I thought, given the fact that he had said a lot more, he was very restrained. And what he gave his base was very small. It was peanuts. He saved his big comments for things like infrastructure. So all in all, it was a little bit of chicken feed for the peanut gallery, but basically he was a lot of we and us and inclusive. His fervor was actually around the immigrants and immigration. He wanted to show he's going to do a better job than Obama.
Now, one thing the Republicans have had quite a bit of success doing under Trump is eliminating environmental protections, but it's been so underreported, I was actually surprised to hear Trump mention it in his speech, along with the words clean coal. What's your take?
I think he's being hammered in the U.S. press on all the environmental protection that is going away at the federal level, and the states, even the Republican states, are hammering him on that. So he had to mention something to say this was his directive and his direction to satisfy that constituency, that big money constituency in oil and coal and gas. And I think he's going to stick with that one. It's going to take another president to restore these agencies. He's really taken the guts out of them.
He's also claimed that auto plants and factories will be opening up all over our country. How long should his base be holding their breath for those ones?
Well, as a matter of fact, I think what he really should have been saying is those that were about to leave aren't leaving because of the tax cuts, and they can keep more money at home. And if wages rise in the United States, there won't be any new ones, but they'll be keeping some. And he'll make a big deal when a new factory opens or reopens. But I wouldn't see a lot of that. These are again, throwaway lines to another base, the base that's the blue-collar worker. And if that employment doesn't go down, he's a winner because it was going down rapidly.
I just do want to circle back on immigration for a moment, in particular the DACA situation. The only time I actually heard booing during this speech was when Trump claimed chain immigration was a big issue Republicans would clamp down on. But he did promise a bipartisan deal on the Dreamers. Should we be holding our breaths for that one?
Well, the Dreamers thing is a deal that's been done. The Dreamers will get citizenship. He put the stakes out there too high and too hard so that he could get his wall. But the Dreamers are going to get citizenship, and that's all they care about. He has a lot of pressure from the Republican Congress to do something about that. They're talking about 12 years to citizenship. That's not going to happen. I think it's going to be more like, let's say, the existing system is 5 years. They'll make it 7 or 8, no more than that, with a good, clean record. The chain citizenship is something that even a lot of middle-class Americans have been concerned about. One person comes to the United States, and then you get a whole bunch of others who are eligible for welfare and so forth. So I think that chain is actually going to be broken. The Democrats have to be very careful about how they attack that one because it has a lot of public support. And I think there will be something that happens there. The idea of skilled migrants rings very high with Americans. So I think he's on a winner, but he's going to have to take a long time before they get there with that program.
And just finally, regarding the State of the Union, Ed, one of the biggest parts of the speech, military. We know Barack Obama spent 8 years trying to get the Guantanamo Bay detention camp, America's infamous black site in Cuba, shut down. But Trump said right before coming on, he had signed an order to keep it open. He also said the U.S. military were going to see new rules of engagement in Afghanistan and wanted, as a deterrent, to build America's nuclear arsenal back up. Lot to unpack here, Ed.
Well, I think that's scary. All that is scary. The Supreme Court has said it's closed Guantanamo. He's now in a confrontation, not with the Congress, but with the court. Again, that's going to be a long, long, long issue for him. I think that much like the immigration issue, there are going to be zillions of court cases that are coming up that will prevent Guantanamo from reopening. Moreover, the military really doesn't want it open, neither does the CIA. So I think he's being contrary to his own people. With respect to the nuclear arsenal, I think it's going to be modernized. I don't think they're going to add new weapons. The military hasn't asked for that, and it's totally unnecessary.
Getting into some of the other news of the week, the Russia investigation, Trump looking more and more like he's been obstructing the FBI and the Republican Party are more than willing to enable him. I don't see how, at this point, the American people can trust their government to do anything but protect themselves first and the law second.
Let's talk more about that later. But I think there are going to be some indictments coming down. There are going to be some real people under fire. Mueller's going to have to act quickly while he has enough momentum and enough proof to put some people in jail, and they're going to be very close to Trump. It might end up that Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator here. So if he saves his butt, he doesn't mind who else goes to jail. But this is going to take a little while to explain how this could work and make Trump look foolish. The Democrats need Trump in office, and disconcertingly, they have no one else to run the Democratic Party. So Trump being there and being weak is better than what they have now. So they're going to try to prolong this in a way that keeps Trump weak, rather than tries to remove him from office.
And speaking of this, Trump has put the kibosh on sanctions for Russia. Now, this was a bipartisan solution to Russia's perceived and very real attempts to influence the 2016 election. With Trump in their pocket, Putin and his cronies, they must feel like they've got free rein to do pretty much whatever they feel in the future. And Republicans, once again, seem disinclined to do very much about what Trump is doing here.
Yes, that's true. It's going to take a new Congress to do that, but the pressure's not off on that one. I think the Democrats, this gives the Democrats a really good, strong issue to run on, and they will. Trump is not going to get anything from Putin in the near term. So he has to be careful how much he snuggles up to him, because this could be a real backlash on Putin and Trump.
Now, Ed, tying into what we said last week about the rise of China and the downfall of the U.S., The Economist has come out and said this week in their rankings the U.S. president is no longer the most powerful world leader. Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, is instead, precisely because of those friendships China has been building, which you spoke about last week. What's your take, Ed?
Well, as we know, the Chinese moved right in Africa after those terrible remarks he made about black people. The Chinese are moving in all over Southeast Asia with grants, with machinery, with new rails and roads. They're winning the real war on the ground. And they're letting the United States and a lot of other people shed blood in places like Syria and Yemen, while they build strong relationships moving all the way into North Africa and West Africa. So they're winning the game without any military might.
And finally, Ed, Puerto Rico. FEMA will stop delivering emergency supplies of food and water to Puerto Rico, despite the fact the country is, still clearly struggling. Ed, you know disaster relief. Just what kind of move is this?
This is too little, too late. Puerto Rico is really a basket case. It's going to take a Katrina-like recovery with a complete recovery czar running it, much like I did. The politics there are very much like I had to face. Many too many institutions, very fragile infrastructure. It's going to take a major move. Trump doesn't care, but somebody better care soon, or Puerto Rico will look like Haiti.
Ed and I'll be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.